Okay, everyone, it's time to get started. Welcome to the Accessible Technology Webinar Series. My name is Claudia Diaz, and I'm Associate Director for the Great Lakes ADA Center. The Accessible Technology Webinar Series is sponsored by the Great Lakes ADA Center and the Pacific ADA Center, both members of the ADA National Network, comprised of 10 regional centers funded by the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research. So for today's session, we are talking about accessibility testing in enterprises big and small. I'm very pleased to have Barry Johnson with us from DQ Systems. Barry Johnson has been working in Section 508 Web Accessibility for over 12 years, helping with FAA, the Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Education, to ensure that the accessibility of their complex websites are accessible. He's working as a consultant for DQ Systems, and Barry also works for large commercial client-based testing and reviewing their e-business websites. Before I pass it over to Barry, I want to introduce everyone to the webinar platform, if you're not familiar with it. This platform has features, as I mentioned before, closed captioning. If you're interested in using closed captioning, there is a panel or a box called Audio and Video, and that has a CC icon on there. You can click on that. That will bring up a box which you can adjust and resize to your preference. You can access that by keyboard command function F8. We will be taking questions throughout the session in the chat area, but they will be addressed during the question and answer segment designated towards the end. To ask a question, you will need to go to the participant box and right-click on the Great Lakes name. Then a menu option will appear for send chats, and this way you can send a question or comment to Great Lakes, and that will be presented to Barry at the question and answer time. You can access that area by putting your keyboard focus into the chat area by participant table, by clicking F6. And once your focus is in the participant table, you can scroll down to Great Lakes and then send the message. Last thing I want to mention is you can send or customize your view by clicking on the.
Thank you, Claudia. And I'd like to thank Claudia and Janet at Great Lakes for this invitation. Welcome, everybody.
You will have an opportunity to detach.
To hear from everybody at the end and answer any questions that you have.
And the last item I'd like to mention.
As Claudia said, my name is Barry Johnson. I'm a senior accessibility consultant with DQ Systems in the Washington, D.C. area.
All right, so at this time, I want to present Barry Johnson.
Large commercial, small commercial, and government agencies on assuring their accessibility on the web and the accessibility of their documents. Today we're going to talk about accessibility testing in the enterprise. We're going to look at some automated tools and some manual testing tools that today's businesses can use to test for accessibility. I know that most of you here probably know about accessibility, but I'd like to take a couple minutes to review a few things just for people who might not be fully aware of accessibility and what accessibility, what this means to people. In 1998, Congress amended the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 to require federal agencies to make their electronic and information technology accessible to people with disabilities. This is what we generally call Section 508. The law applies to all federal agencies when they develop, procure, maintain, or use electronic and information technology. We have a Section 508 refresh coming soon, we hope. The Access Board, which is the government agency that is responsible for it, has taken comments on an update. They're currently looking at incorporating Section 508 with the merging it with the WCAG 2.0, which is the web content accessibility guidelines that are accepted throughout the rest of the basically the rest, everybody except the United States. The WCAG 2.0 is a generally internationally accepted guidelines, and they were just accepted as an international organization of standardization standard, ISO, for those of you that are familiar with ISO. It's now ISO standard 40500. This is going to make for some very nice changes for us in the United States, because it will allow us to allow our enterprises and government agencies to be as accessible as the agencies and enterprises in Europe and Asia. The four basic principles of the WCAG 2.0 are perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust. In addition to these four basic principles, there are 12 guidelines and 61 success criteria. We'll talk a little bit about what those guidelines and success criteria are in the, a little bit later. Basically, perceivable is the information and user interface components must be presentable to users in ways they can perceive. This includes refreshable braille displays, screen readers, any other devices that would be used for assistive technology. Operable means that the user interface components and navigation must be operable. This allows for accessibility through the keyboard or through touch screen, things like that. Understandable, we have information and the operation of the user interface must be understandable. This basically refers to the logical flow of information on the page and things like headings and sections on a page. And robust, they put this in so that we can say that it content must be able to be interpreted by a variety of user agents. They were very concerned that we're not focused on just what is current, but what is coming in the future for user agents and assistive technologies. So what is a disability? People with disabilities are our first people, and sometimes we forget that. We have to remember. But is a disability strictly a personal characteristic of the body? Or do we create those disabilities by creating disabling environments? This is very important to us in the accessibility field, because sometimes it's those of us that are creating the content that are making the disability rather than the person who's looking at the content. We see this with in buildings without elevators or ramps, desk or water fountains that are too tall or too short, other appliances like microwaves that have touch screens instead of perceivable buttons. And of course, live events without captions or other ways of interpreting what's going on the stage or screen. Digital technology can be an accessibility barrier, but it's also one of the best solutions that was ever invented. How does a blind person read a newspaper? How does a person with very little mobility go shopping? Well, they use the internet and they use the web, and that is why our responsibility is to ensure that our content is available to everyone. This is my friend Jennison. He uses a screen reader, and he's actually much better at using his computer than I am. Lauren is deaf and depends on transcripts and captions for multimedia content. And then there's Gene, who broke his neck when he fell off a cliff. Gene doesn't let his mobility and his mobile disabilities slow him down now. He, since his injury, he's gone sailing, scuba diving, skydiving, and even made an expedition to Mount Everest. When Gene is in the recording studio, he uses his computer by picking up a pencil with his mouth and typing on a keyboard to press the key, one key at a time. So when we're talking about accessibility, one of the things that we have to think about is testing our content for accessibility. With 61 success criteria, and so how do we test for accessibility? One way to test is to use a system-wide enterprise testing and monitoring. Another way to test is to use local browser-based page-by-page testing. Accessibility is, we like to think of accessibility as a like a cookie recipe. When you're making chocolate chip cookies, imagine trying to add the chips after the cookie is baked versus folding the chips in before you put them in the oven. A successful web accessibility testing plan has similarities to a successful cooking recipe. You start with a plan, gather the tools and resources, make the cookies by measuring carefully and following the plan, double checking to make sure you did everything right, and then conduct the very important taste test to make sure the cookies are just right. This is the same thing in the web development process, where in addition to designing the site, coding the site, testing the site, and launching the site, we also plan for access to the site, reviewing the site design, coding standards, equipping the development team with the proper development tools and testing tools, role-playing specific tests using unit testing and auto testing, and then an expert evaluation with assistive technology. Then we want to remediate those issues that are found by through the fixing and then retesting. The last is sustaining, to sustain using continuous monitoring. That's what one of the things that is used, we use the enterprise-wide tools for, is to review and continually monitor. Accessibility testing is not the icing on the cake. It doesn't happen after the cookie is cooled, or you have to test at the both ends of your development process before you get into production, so you know that you're not going to get burned by having accessibility barriers as soon as you're ready to go live. You want to be sure that if you're currently doing accessibility testing at the end of the process, or when things are already in production, you have to understand that you missed an opportunity to change the feel of your site. And every time you find an accessibility issue that could have been caught in the design or coding phase, you have more time, effort, and resources that have to be put into the remediation. This is a little chart that shows the cost of fixing accessibility defects. We have four different times that you can catch an accessibility defect: in design phase, the code phase, the test phase, or the maintenance phase. And during those four different times, there are cost factors involved in fixing the accessibility defects. If you catch it in the design phase, it has a low cost factor of 1. In the code phase, you have a cost factor of about 3. During the testing phase, you have a cost factor of 6. And in the maintenance phase, a cost factor of 10. It can cost a lot. 10 times as much to fix it in the maintenance, during the maintenance of the site than during the design of the site. So it's very important that we find the right mix, the right mix of testing tools with the right technology and the right touch. With the right mix in the hands of the expert, but in the hands of the right testers of high touch and automated testing, it's important to use the mix to find the right mix and use it correctly, because the moment you finish the test, the website that you've tested has already started changing. So you need to know the right mix of automated testing and manual testing. The enterprise accessibility testing tools allow web managers to scan all or parts of a website on live on the server. The management can get a report that allows them to assign the different sections that need to be repaired to different developers. And scans can be set to run on a regular schedule. These are some very good applications of enterprise testing tools. Some of the tools that are used come from a variety of different sources, but overall, it can be said that automated enterprise testing tools can cost a lot of money. It can often cost big money, not just to purchase, but to have trained, qualified personnel to review and remediate the issues. Plus, your accessibility team has other work to do, as we'll look at in a minute. So it's important that when you look at the different enterprise accessibility testing tools, and at the end I'll show you some resources that you can look at, some links to some of the enterprise-wide tools. You can see that it's important to pick one that fits your enterprise, fits your organization, is scalable to your organization, and has the assistance that you need customer service-wise to make sure that it's set up correctly, that it's run correctly, and that you have the right people in place to assist the reviews. Automated enterprise testing tools use a desktop or web-based application. Sometimes it's an IDE plugin or a browser plugin that looks for these accessibility problems. It may or may not involve the use of spiders to crawl multiple pages. Generally, these enterprise tools will crawl the whole site for you, or sections of the site, depending on how you set up the parameters. It may or may not involve the ability to schedule repeat tests or do automated reports, but generally the reason for using the enterprise-wide tools is to have scheduled reviews on a regular basis so you know when your site is being looked at. Some of the benefits of using an using the automated testing tools or the abilities to scan large volumes of code, whether it's on a single page or wide or site-wide. Some of your sites could have 5, 10, 15, 20,000 different pages. There are sites out there that have hundreds of thousands of different pages. So these can be really beneficial, being able to scan these large sites. They also have the ability to automatically generate reports. It's great to be able to walk into the CIO's office or the CEO's office and say, here is the report on the accessibility of your site. And they really like to be able to see that it goes from being inaccessible to being fully accessible. Another benefit is the ability to catch errors which don't need human review. There are a number of these 61 criteria, or the 16 in Section 508, that can be reviewed automatically, and the automated testing tools, the large enterprise site-wide automated testing tools can catch some of these errors without having an accessibility expert actually look at the code. They can be configurable to include and exclude specific guidelines and checking methods. If you're a commercial site and you don't have the need to meet Section 508 standards, but you've been told that you need to meet WCAG 2.0 AA standard specifications, then you can configure those to meet those specific guidelines and checking methods. Some of the issues with automated tools is passing items that should fail. Depending on the brand and version of your testing tool, there can be different issues that pop up that are not that should fail, that don't. Then there's a problem with failing items that should pass. There may be missing a label on an input element which is hidden or has submit for its value. There are other times when it might come up as a failure for missing the language attribute that's already been, where the attribute is in the HTML rather than a tag in the specific tag for the item. They can also have difficulties with form-driven authentication and interactions with user interaction with forms. They can also have difficulties with pages that utilize JavaScript to render content. A lot of web pages, a lot of websites out there use JavaScript when you click on a button and content appears below the line that you just clicked on. It's used JavaScript to show and hide content. Sometimes the automated tools have difficulty finding that. There are also questionable checking rules failing a document for items that have no real-world impact on access. And tools can test markup, but not non-text formats. So sometimes CSS or Java applet or Flash or Flex will not be tested by the automated enterprise-wide tools. Markup may look good to the tool, but when the page uses some kind of document scripting, which can make it inaccessible, tools also often check the markup itself without checking the document object markup structure, the DOM structure. Another problem that they can have is security restrictions, which may not allow automated tools to access the site. Security and restrictions in a lot of organizations disallow the installation of an automated tool. Sometimes the security restrictions also can keep parts of the site away from automated tools. Some tools allow you to write specific scripts to get into the secure sections of sites, but not all of them do that. So it's important that you look at that when you're reviewing your automated enterprise tools. And some conformance criteria can be flagged for potential violations, which will help with a manual review. But there are still others that must be checked completely manually. So we'll look at some manual testing tools to use in the enterprise also in just a minute. This is a screenshot of one of the enterprise-wide testing tools. They're designed to help you set up the scans for an entire organization. You start by entering the URL and tell it how far you want it to go, how deep into the site, how many levels, the accessibility standard you want to have tested, whether it's the WCAG 2.0 or Section 508, and how frequently you want it to run, whether you want it to run just once, or weekly, or monthly. This is a screenshot of the dashboard of WorldSpace, which is the DQ Systems product. You can see that it was run on different dates with a different results, and this is a nice way for being able to show your the people in your enterprise where the pages need to be fixed and where they are successful with accessibility. After looking at automated testing, we also want to look at manual testing techniques. Manual testing techniques involve code level review of the generated HTML or also browser and hardware manipulation, and using assistive technology. manual testing can be specifically oriented to finding potential areas of accessibility problems and using methods meant to mimic coding method, mimic certain problems to uncover errors. We'll take a look in a minute, a few minutes about using your browser settings and computer hardware settings to look at a page so that you can see what some of the problems are. Some of the benefits of manual testing is a high level of accuracy. And the errors that are found are not just flagged, but your tester can suggest repairs on how to fix them. Often when I'm reviewing the site and I have the developers, I have the developers in the room, I can show them how they can make their code work a little bit better. One of the benefits of having been a developer before I started even doing accessibility testing. Some of the issues with manual testing include the outcome is reliant on the experience of the reviewer. Our reviewers have been doing it a long time and have seen a lot of different pages, and there are reviewers that don't have quite as much experience. It can also be very time intensive. Well, I don't say it can be. It is very time intensive. It takes up to an hour per page, even more depending on the complexity of the page. And when you're paying somebody by the hour to look at the page, it can cost a lot of money. But it's very increased code complexity also can lead to the inclusion of mistakes. But code inspection can be tested manually, allows you to look at the complexity very easily. But there are some things that should still be tested for automatically. Some of those things can be done using reviews are done using a combination of automated and manual testing, and it makes it a lot more comprehensive. Here are some of the, here we have some of the tools that we use to do testing, both manual and automated testing. The Wave toolbar from WebAIM, Jim Thatcher is an accessibility, worked for IBM as an accessibility expert from many, many years, the 70s and 80s. The Web Developer Toolbar from Firefox, the Accessibility Toolbar from Mozilla, which is a Firefox add-on. Headings Map, which is a Firefox add-on. And then FireEyes, which DQ makes available to, as an add-on to Firefox. I'm going to take a look at a site, Very Best Baking, because we were talking about cookies before, and see how some of these tools interact with the with this website. The first thing we do is a smoke test on what obvious accessibility issues there are. We use the wave tool and put it, type in the URL and press the wave this page button. And we find that there were 7 accessibility errors that we found right away. This is the red icons indicate actual accessibility errors. The yellow icons here indicate issues that would need to be tested manually. And the green icons indicate good accessibility features that have been found on the page. Even though they use the red and green and yellow icons, the wave tools itself is very accessible. Each one of the icons have unique symbols that can be distinguished without relying on the color. The alt text for each icon is accurate and accessible. One of the things that we look for in on web pages as meaningful alternative text, meaningful alt text. Using Jim Thatcher's favorite plugin, we can find the images and see that some of the images have some of the images have meaningful text, like the search. The search button, and some of them don't have very meaningful text, like the chocolate chip cookies, where the alternative text passes because it has alternative text, but it says that it's a medium image and it doesn't tell you what it actually is. This can become very problematic. And while this would pass an automated test because the alternative text is there, it would throw up a red flag on a manual test because the alternative text is not very meaningful. The web developer toolbar, they allow you to replace the images with the alternative attribute. And when you turn that on, you can see that it looks pretty blank. A quick check shows that the alternative text for the images is not conveying the essential information where the images were. One of the things that always gets us into trouble when we're designing a site is color contrast. The color contrast, there's a toolbar called the the functional accessibility evaluator in Firefox that has a really nice color contrast feature. And here we can see that we've selected the color contrast from the FAE toolbar. And here we can see that the color contrast has luminosity feature that tells us what the contrast from the text to the background is. When you look at anything with a color contrast of less than 4.5, you can see that could become an issue with someone who has a potential color blindness or has difficulty distinguishing colors. In fact, in the WCAG 2.0, they have very specific guidelines on what that luminosity value needs to be in order to pass the color contrast tests. We can also use the accessibility evaluator to evaluate links and the how meaningful the link text is. One of the requirements in WCAG 2.0 is that links have a meaning, and that the meaning of the link text to be meaningful to what it does. So this allows us to see that there are a number of places where there is a link text called Get Recipe. If you are looking at this using a number of assistive technology devices, the Get Recipe doesn't tell you very much about what that link does. It doesn't tell you where that link is going to go or what recipe you're going to get. Instead of saying get recipe, these could say these should say get recipe for chocolate chip cookies, get recipe for brownies, get recipe for Rocky Road fudge, so that you know where the user knows where they're going. And we also want to be sure that any links that have the same name go to the same place. So if you have a link called home, then it always goes back to the home page and not to different pages on the site. One of the things that WCAG 2.0 requires in the in its standard for the four basic is a heading structure that means having headers a single header for the a number of let me start over, please. A number of assistive technology tools allows you to use headers to navigate through the page. If you want to navigate using just headers on the page, it's important that the headers be structured correctly. So this tool allows you to look at the headings map and tells you where, what headings are which. And we can see here that the heading structure on the page has goes from 1 to 3, and then there's a 2 to 3, and then there are lots of threes, which is okay, but there are threes of headers of feature product and recipe types. So this one has a lot of issues that this page has a lot has a few problems. One with going from a heading of level 1 to directly to a level 3 heading. And then from a level 3 heading to a level 2 heading.
For that information, that was a lot to cover in this time, but I do
have
a question that came
prefer
from
to see
area.
It in
but before I do that, let me have my participants. If you want to send your question,
one level 1 heading and then level 2 headings that are broken down into level 3s.
Right click
if we remember
on the
our
green link
high school English class,
send to chat
when we're doing an outline,
here.
You know, you
click
have
on that, and you will have a box where you can
one,
send your
Roman
question
level 2, Roman numeral 3, and
so
under that,
many
you have
people do that,
ABC.
So
we see the same basic
thing
already, the document structure on a web
and this
page.
One,
we want to
see asking, is there any movement or industry trend
to
incorporate accessibility checking in content management systems?
This allows for the assistive technology to find their way up and down the page. Area landmarks. A number of you probably heard about this in your accessible during your web, talking to your web developers. We have the ARIA means Accessible Rich Internet Applications. And this defines a way to make web content and web applications more accessible to people with disabilities. It especially helps with dynamic content and advanced user interface controls developed using AJAX, JavaScript, and other related technologies.
I'm sorry, Barry, you're hitting a little soft.
Currently, certain functionalities used are not available to users with disabilities, especially people who rely on screen readers and people who can't read use a mouse. But ARIA landmarks address these accessibility challenges by defining new ways for functionality to be provided to assistive technology. With ARIA, developers can make advanced web applications accessible and usable to people with disabilities.
Okay.
We have a way of testing for that with the Juicy Studios accessibility toolbar.
Well, this topic
they
is a complicated topic, so it would only make sense.
Document
so, and just to participate, if you want to adjust your sound in the audio and video blocks, you will see a speaker icon with a slider bar. You can go ahead and move that.
With this turn on, you can see that there's
And then I
the
have another question.
The page has a
can
role
you address
the
disability issues related
there's
to intellectual or information processing
and
disabilities,
navigation, and
such as language or language, page layout, navigation,
roles to navigate
systems, etc.
around the page and a number of assistive technology, especially more recent screen readers, allow you to navigate using just those area landmarks. This is FireEyes by DQ Systems. It's like having an accessibility tool belt right on the top, right on top of your Firefox browser. Gives you everything that you need in one place. All of those different tools are in there. If we look at the very baking web page again, you can press the now button on the FireEyes and Firebug and analyze it for all accessibility issues, and you can get not just what the issue is, but you can get the code that is the problem, and there are buttons for getting the details of the problem. White text on white background. So if you're wondering if the white text and the white brown background on the site is accessible, it shows you by pushing the color button whether it can be seen or not. And you can see that there's an error that says poor visibility between text and background colors. So we know that there's a problem there.
Okay.
And here we have color contrast. It tells you exactly what the contrast is.
In learning or hearing about the impact statement,
it tells you what
wanting to accommodate mobile users.
What tells the developers what line
issues
code
improved over the time or not. The impact that websites wanting to accommodate mobile users.
Again, it's important that we have the right mix in the hands of the right
retroactive designer trying to fix
automated high-tech
that's already been
tools
designed
as well
that
as
accessibility in their original intention.
Manual testing.
They're going back and trying to
putting the right testing tools in the
improvements for
know
or
what their
the impact
are.
That this is doing for mobile users.
Ahead of time.
Any information on that?
You have a basic test plan of doing the homepage smoke test and using the page-by-page testing tools, using your comprehensive testing with the enterprise-wide scans, as well as allowing the experts to test with the screen reader or the keyboard, and doing hands-on accessibility testing. As we like to say in the accessibility field, no sight, no sound, no mouse, no problem. You should be able to navigate through a website without any problem at all. These are some of the resources. The enterprise-wide testing tools, including WorldSpace from DQ Systems. And some of the resources that are available. These slides Great Lakes will make available in a couple of days for download, and we'll have that information for you on the last slide. So you don't have to write these down right away, but these will have the, these are the where you can get some of the resources that were in this presentation. And it looks like I've got some time to take some questions. So thank you very much for coming by today. I know we're a little bit early, but maybe you have some questions and we can answer some of the questions that you have. There are a number of the content management systems that allow you to plug in some of these some of the enterprise
touching
tools.
On that.
I know
as you mentioned, using individuals for testing is definitely the best way to go. But I was wondering if you had tips for guiding the users. I find oftentimes when I work with an individual that's the screen reader user, they have their own personalized method for navigating a page, which is different than actually testing the page. Do you have tips to help guide the users during the testing process?
Doing the development. Some of it is going to depend on what content management tool you're using. Unfortunately, some are a little bit more complicated than others. Sorry. Some of the content management tools are a little bit more complicated than others, and I'm not sure which, off the top of my head, which ones plug into which content management. But if you look at the websites of the testing tools, they might be able to tell you which content management systems they interoperate with. I know it's kind of complicated to answer to that question, but. One of the hardest things that we have to address as accessibility professionals are the cognitive, what are generally called cognitive disabilities. It's one of the reasons why you want to make sure that your heading structure is correct, is well established and follows the guidelines, is to help people understand where they are. One of the requirements is perceivable, and we want to make sure that your language is plain and clear, that you're using the commonly spoken language in the fields that you're addressing, and that the page be structured in a logical way so that people who are coming to it know what they're doing, know how to get through it. It's very difficult sometimes to know what the right answer is, because people have different needs on their sites. What you need to know when you're designing it, what audience you're addressing, and get some help and understanding of how best to address that audience. If you're writing a website for a scientific journal, you want to address it differently than a website like the baking website that we looked at before. So, you know, the level of language that you use, the level of complexity that you use, you have to understand what your audience is when you start designing. It's very hard to go back and fix things like that when you realize that you're talking over the heads of your audience and not addressing
the challenge is usability sometimes interferes with the coding
about the
features in the audience, a different audience.
Where you are with the language and what you're
trying to do. Exactly. All right, let's move on to our next question. This person is asking, what's the best way to check whether or not JavaScript sliders and menu structures meet the basic accessibility requirements?
One of the things that we look at a lot, and that this is part addressed in the robust section of the WCAG 2.0, is the accessibility of your site through a wide variety of user agents. We found over the course of time that more and more sites, if you design it with accessibility in mind, that most of the mobile technologies have a much easier time. Most people who use mobile technology to go to your site have an easier time of it. If you've identified the heading structure correctly, if you've identified the form fields correctly, if you're using a good color contrast, all of these things can be tested with the testing tools that we looked at today. In fact, some of the testing tools have incorporated through mobile testing in their design. Let's see, what slide is that? It's 60.
Okay. I think I read
this person
wants to know if your tool, your evaluator tool, helps to address
simulate,
explorers design issues.
Different assistive technologies, and that has now been updated to include mobile technologies, so you can test your site for mobile, whether it's accessible with mobile technologies. So some of the tools are trying to meet that need. Some of them are you just have to test yourself. I find that we're testing a lot of sites now using mobile devices and using basically live people to test the site to see how they navigate using both the voiceover on the Apple products and the assistive technology things that are available on the Google products. Good design goes a long way to making sure that your site is available to all technologies. So it's not really hard.
And for participants, I put the URL that Barry mentioned, webaim.org, in the chat area. So if you want to look at that site, it's a great site with multiple resources on the website.
One of the things that's the most difficult
I need to say,
the same technology
provides a reference.
I know
And if you,
if
you
I
have
got 10 of my low vision friends in the same room using the same assistive technology, they would all use it. They all use it slightly differently. And the best thing that I can tell our clients is to make sure that, that you're designing and developing your site to the best of your ability to the to what the requirements of either WCAG 2.0 or Section 508 are, and testing using the tools that you have, because everybody's going to use the assistive everybody uses the assistive technology a little bit differently. Some people like to navigate with using headers. There are some of the screen reader users just use the down arrow. So we want to make sure that you always want to make sure that your site is designed and built and developed to the using the most current standards and the most recent HTML, you know, the most recent HTML and design standards, the most recent the current cascading
right.
style sheet standards, because
sure
all of these
things
there to help people
purchase such an evaluator,
use and navigate your site.
For their company,
remember
so
the more complex
this,
your site is, the more important it is that you have these
so a question
enterprise-wide
for evaluating, so it generates reports, and I was curious about the format of those reports. How does that get generated? Does it really create like a CSV file, or is it just built in that you have to look at the data as you go in?
Getting people, who users, to test it, it becomes really difficult sometimes, because like I said, you get one somebody who will be able to, who will say your site works great, and then the next person who walks in says your site doesn't work very well. So I don't, sometimes you just have to write your code to the standard and to test when using the available tools and make adjustments as people call and complain about something not being accessible. It's not a very good answer, but you know, I'm telling you that's the way it is. Different audiences see things differently, so it becomes very difficult. The best way to test JavaScript sliders is to take away the developer's mouse and make them navigate with the keyboard. If they can get focus on the slider and manipulate it using their tab key and their arrow keys and their space bar, then most of the assistive technologies are going to be able to test to find it and use it. And again, part of that is coding, making sure that your designers are coding correctly. When they label the buttons on the slider correctly and
okay, great.
All of the
and then
controls
just further
are
to expand on your tool
it gets
world space
them a
is,
long way to be
maybe
able
mentioned
to be
distribution
used by the assistive
that,
technology. Remember, we're not talking
free
just about
or is there free trial on your site?
We're also talking about people who use voice navigation, like Dragon Naturally Speaking or Dictate, where you're actually using your voice to tell the where on the screen to get focus and how to manipulate the device. So if the slider isn't coded correctly, it makes it more difficult for them to find it and use it. But I found that unplugging the developer's mouse really works well, and that making them work on fixing all of their JavaScript issues, or most of them anyway. There is very difficult to address all of Internet Explorer's design issues, but the hope for that is Internet Explorer 10 is coming, and Internet Explorer 10 is a lot more standard-oriented than Internet Explorer 6 was. If you look at some of these, one of the websites that we looked at earlier, the web8.org, there's actually a discussion on there, on that website. There's a discussion page that talks about Internet Explorer and how to address some of the issues with Internet Explorer.
I did so much
They're aware of the issues and they're working on it.
Using the tool,
not 7 is better than 6 and 9 is better than 7. So far, everybody who's tried it, all my friends who have tried it, say 10 is better than 9. So, we're getting there. They're fixing them themselves. We actually did do a study on the cost-benefit analysis of remediating sites, and I will try to track down that information that generated that slide. It is generally, if you look at any design defect repair, whether it's in web or in industry, the car development industry, or the automotive industry, or the web development industry, or whatever, it's generally easier to fix things early in the design phase than it is to fix defects after the rubber has hit the road. But that information was actually generated by a study, and I will make a note to myself to get that to Great Lakes so that they can get that information.
Yep, I double checked in Google. It's
www.org. I'll make a note to myself to get that to you.
Yep. I would have guessed the same thing. Nope, www.org.
Yeah, I'll get that out to you.
Alright, I have a person asking if you can recommend a certification program.
Some of the enterprise tools have built-in dashboards where you can see the report that's generated. And then the report is stored in the tool, and you can only view the report in the tool. Some of the tools, like WorldSpace, allow you to export the information into either a CSV file or an Excel spreadsheet. The CSV file is handy because you can then import that CSV file into a bug tracker. If your company uses a bug tracker to track reported bugs, like Jira or the HP solution for bug trackers, you can actually import that CSV file into your bug tracker, and then that way you can assign it to different developers. But some of the tools, like the AMP tool, the reports are only viewable in the tool itself. So when you're looking at the different tools, be sure that you check to see whether that information can be exported or not. I will tell you that the world space information is available for export. So you can export it and manipulate it outside of the tool itself. That's a good question, because not everybody thinks about that. Well, that's another good question. FireEyes is free for download and installation into Firefox. And if you go to dq.com, you can actually follow the instructions on getting FireEyes and using it. To use the world space, there is the ability, when you're using FireEyes, to use some of the features that world space offers.
This person wants to know if you like web beams checklists.
Enterprise-wide ability to schedule scans and track things that way. Which data should they adhere to? Well, I will tell you that private companies are currently, when they are being challenged in court by the disabled community, courts are holding them to the WCAG 2.0,
validator,
generally the AA standards. So if you go to the... a Google search on WCAG 2.0 and look at the 61, let's see, where are we, WCAG 2.0. So you look at the 12 guidelines, they're broken down into the 61 success criteria. Most of those guidelines fall into the A or AA category, and those are what the courts are holding commercial companies to. And in Europe, that the standard is WCAG 2.0 AA, and that's what most of the companies is written into law in Europe for companies to meet the WCAG 2.0. So, yeah, there you go. www.w3c.org. Okay, all right. A certification program. There currently is not an industry-wide recognized certificate for accessibility. Generally, what has to happen is you get an accessibility consulting firm.
Okay, and another person asking on your world space product. There's pricing on your website with the product, or provide more information on that product.
One of the things that we are hoping for as accessibility consultants, now that WCAG 2.0 has been accepted as an ISO standard, is that we're going to be able to find a way to start having a way of saying certifying that that websites or software is accessible.
That's pretty much at the bottom of the hour.
www.edfnaudio.org.
You can access the recording.
If you have a company that says that they will certify your website
will be
to be
in May,
accessible,
and that will be an accessibility of WordPress. If you're interested in using WordPress to submit this session,
you don't have an industry-wide recognition
at
this time.
So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you, Barry. We'd like to have a session.
We'd like to be able to tell you that your site is accessible.
All right, with that, we'll conclude today's session. Everybody can just click on the X in the upper right hand corner to
exit.
Thanks, and we'll post that resource.
I know the people who developed
on the website,
they did a really nice job.
Page,
I have used that and referenced that to a number of people a number of times. The checklist can be very handy. Remember, you still have to get in there and look at your page and compare it to the checklist. So it can be a useful manual tool. Personally speaking, when I'm testing a site, I tend to use them all because as you get used to using them, they all have their pluses and minuses. And if you could see my Firefox browser, you would see that I have all of those tools that were mentioned in this presentation installed on my Firefox, and I use them all when looking at a site. One of the reasons why it takes a long time to test each page of a site manually is because you do want to verify each thing before you tell somebody that their site, something on their site isn't accessible. You want to verify the Wave toolbar is nice, but they'll tell you that there is a problem. There could be a problem with a color contrast, but they don't tell you exactly what it is, but the FAE accessibility evaluator will give you the color contrast number and what the contrast is between the text and the background. So they have different pluses and minuses. There's contact information on who to reach out to at DQ to get information about that. I believe it has to do with how big the enterprise is, how many pages, and some other criteria that they use. So it's not a flat fee. Thank you very much, Claudia, and thank you everybody for coming today. Yeah, thanks, Claudia.